So you mean Eastern Lake City?
Okay, good afternoon. We still have a couple people coming in as they take their seats. We're going to go ahead and get started. My name is Donna Kravosky, and I am the Director of Parent Relations. So on behalf of the Lafayette Parent Association, I would like to welcome you, the parents of the class of 2019 and parents of our transfer students, as the newest members to the Lafayette family. I hope you enjoyed your day so far, and I must say, you all must be living right. I've been here 25 years. This is the nicest day that we've had for move-in. No rain, no high humidity, no crazy heat, so you all are off to a great start. Now, before we do start our program, one more thing. I'm going to ask you to please put your cell phones on silent, because Murphy's Law works. It will ring if you don't. Now, let's just get a feel for who's here today. Would you please raise your hand if this is your first child that you're sending off to college? Now, keep your hands up a minute. Those of you who do not have your hand up, look around and see these new parents. And at the end of the program, if you would just introduce yourself, give them one of your best pieces of advice. Okay? Now, let's flip it. Raise your hand if this is not your first going off to college. Okay, again, all you new ones, take a look around, and this is someone that you can talk to afterwards and say, give me the real scoop, and they will. One other group. How many people here, this is your last child that you're sending off? Okay. My heart goes out to you. The empty nest is not so bad. It's okay. I'm there, but it's okay. For those of you who did say that this is not your first time, I just want to remind you that every child is different, and it is this student's first time coming here to Lafayette. Now, let me tell you about some of the services that we offer through Parent Relations Office. I serve as your liaison and your advocate here at the college. I will advocate for your concerns and your needs. I will provide you with information throughout the year. And I will help you in getting answers to questions that you might have. In the beginning of July, you should have received a packet in the mail from me. And this would have been maybe the only one that came addressed to you instead of your student. It's the packet that had the calendar magnet in it, which is probably on everyone's refrigerator right now. If you did not receive that packet, please let me know today. Either email me or see me at the reception, and I will check your address and make sure we have it correct, because I don't want you to miss future mailings. You should also have received an email called The Point during the summer. Point stands for Parent Office Information News and Tips. This has not come out on a regular basis. It comes out on an as-needed basis. If you did not get The Point, then that means I might not have your email address, or I might have it incorrectly. So please make sure you have completed the parent information form, which is on the parent website, or email me your address to make sure that we have it correct. A lot of information is going to come to you from the college via email. Therefore, it's important that we have your address. If parents in a family have different email addresses instead of one family address, send both of them to me, and I will email this information out to both. And I recommend that you don't have a designated Lafayette email parent reader, that you all read the emails so that everyone is on the same page and is informed. If you change your address, you can let me know. I will make sure the other offices get it, so you can do it in one call through the parent office. There's two great resources for you. One is the parent website, and the other is the parent handbook. How many people have already discovered the parent website? Have any of you been on the parent website? Good. Okay, we're going to shoot for 100% after today. You go to the Lafayette website, click on Families at the top. You will find a lot of information in there. I'm going to encourage you to do that and look through it, see what information is. You're going to have to do a lot of scrolling. It's a long list. There is a section at the bottom which is for new parents as well. But get to know what's there so that when you need some information, it's easier for you to find it. The parent handbook is there. That is an interactive online handbook, and it's also printable. Several parents have told me that they like to print it and have it for easy reference. On the online version, there's a lot of embedded links that will take you to deeper information within each section. If you can't find information that you need, either from the handbook or the website, then please call me. I'm your contact. I can get the information for you and get you to the person who can. Now, students made me promise to say this. Students love receiving packages. Okay? You can send them from home. Be creative. The crazier your package, the better. Or you can send them from our dining services, which is Bon Appetit. They have a program called Lafayette Care Packages. The link to that is on the parent website, and their description is on their website. In looking at the list of students, I found out that we have a first-year student who will be celebrating a birthday tomorrow. So just away from home and celebrating a birthday. That person is Yuqi Zhang from China. Now, Dining Services has made a cake for him, and his orientation leader will take him tonight to pick it up. So if he was worried about making friends quickly, he's got no worries. He's going to have a lot of friends tonight. I hope everyone has family weekend on their calendar, September 18th to 20th. This is one of the biggest events that takes place on campus all year. The family weekend schedule has been online for a while, and many people have registered, and I checked today, some events are selling out. We have three events already sold out. So if you've not registered, please do. Note that you will need to purchase your tickets for the brunch and the tailgate. They are not sold at the door. They're by reservation only. We also want you to know that we call it Family Weekend, not Parent Weekend. So it's for everybody. We have a student committee that's been working since last February putting this together. They want to showcase their school for the families. They want you to see their home away from home, to meet some of their faculty and their new friends, and experience what they're going to experience every day. Each semester, we have a parent newsletter called Hill to Home, College Hill to Home. That will be emailed to you automatically. You don't have to sign up for it. If you don't receive it, and it will come out probably around the end of October, again, we want to check and make sure we have your email address. Now, how many of you had a son or daughter this summer who was sort of on an emotional roller coaster? Okay. Maybe some of you from phone calls I received had a son or daughter that you didn't recognize or didn't want to recognize. Even though they may have tried to push some of you away this summer, that's their mechanism of starting the separation process. We want you to know they still want and need your advice. They just have an odd way of showing it. You help them to build their dreams, and you help them to reach their dreams. They know it. Research has showed that parents today still have a high influence on their college-age students. At Lafayette, we recognize this, and we ask you to partner with us in teaching your student to be responsible for their actions, their decisions, and for solving their own problems. I will try to keep you informed of all the available resources that we have on campus. Then, as informed parents, you can better advise your student. We ask that you listen to your student and offer information. Be a resource, not a rescuer, who solves the problems for them. But that said, you know your child better than anyone. You will know when you need to call and there's a time when you need information or advice on handling something, or feel we need to be aware of a situation, or if you feel your student is floundering in some way, then please contact me in the Parent Relations Office. We will help you out, we will get you the resources you need, and we will connect you with the appropriate person. Some advice for you today is give your kids some space today and the next few days. But do keep in touch. They're going to want to know what's going on at home, and maybe they'll let you know what's going on here. Do send the all-important packages of food, goodies, whatever it is you want to send. Make sure they have a picture of family to have in their room. Please don't change their room before they come home for fall break. No, don't make it into an exercise room or a study or a craft room. You've seen the commercial, I'm sure, where the kid comes home and the kitchen is now this big and his room is that big. Let them come home to their room. Read one of the books. There's many books out on the market that are really good at giving advice to college parents. One that I really like is called The Happiest Kid on Campus. It's a thick book, but it's a small book, but it's really good advice. There's another one that's very, very good, and it's very appropriately named. It's called Don't Tell Me What to Do, Just Send Money. Very good book. And then the one that most people recognize is a book called Letting Go. Now, I don't want you to get hung up on this whole letting go thing. You are not totally letting go of your son and daughter today. You're just going to be connected in a different way. I don't like the term helicopter parent, or you may have seen snowplow parent, or lawnmower parent, or Velcro parent. All these terms from magazines and newspapers and TV shows. What I'd like you to picture instead is to picture a tandem bicycle. But now your student is in the front, steering the course, and the family's on the back. The family's giving support. The family's helping them pedal. The family's reaching out and patting them on the back when they need it. Just sit back and enjoy the ride with them. They're in for a great ride here at Lafayette, and so are you. I want you to know, too, that I do understand what a lot of you are feeling today and what you're experiencing. I've sent my oldest off. I've sent my youngest off. Have you heard of the boomerang generation? Your kids are in it. Research has just shown that 85% of college graduates return home for some period of time. I experienced that. It was nice for a while. I know what it's like when neither of your kids are living at home, too. I know what it's like when one lives nearby and one's out on the West Coast. So I do understand what you're feeling today. I also know very well that today is a very special day for you. A special day that you're leaving your son and daughter here with us. And when you do go home, I want you to leave with a good feeling, knowing that they're in good hands here at Lafayette, and that you and your son or daughter are now part of the Lafayette family. At the welcome program today, which will be out on the quad, you will be sitting with your son or daughter. You will have a short time at the end of that program for goodbyes and for your last-minute advice. Tell them how happy you are. Tell them how proud you are. Tell them you're looking forward to hearing about their classes and their new friends, and then give them a really great big hug. You will hear the bells of South College ring. That's a tradition here at Lafayette. And when the bells ring, that is the call for the class to assemble, and it will be the class assembling for the first time. Send them off with cheers and applause and hoots and hollers, and give them a really good send-off as they go on their way. That moment when those bells ring and your kids are going off, you're going to remember that, and so will they. Now, again, if I can be of any help to you or your student, please don't hesitate to call. Some parents have referred to me as the Canvas Mom, and they have sent their student to my office to ask questions or to just sit and talk. And that's okay. That's fine. I'm here for you, and I'm here for your student. Thank you. Now, as we begin with our panelists, I'd like you to think about questions that you might have as they're sharing their information with you. You have folders. There's a sheet of paper in the folder if you want to jot down some notes. This is your chance to ask questions before the semester begins. You had information tables in the back. If you did not visit those, you can on the way out. If you did, we're going to ask that when you exit out the front doors so that we have a flow. We have another group of parents coming in. Let me introduce our panelists. We have our Dean of Students, Paul McLaughlin. We have the Dean of Advising and Co-Curricular Programs, Erica DiAgostino. We are fortunate to have two RAs with us today, Valerie Melson and Dan Jureyev. Both are juniors, and they are very, very smart RAs. They're very wise. But today we're going to start with Dean McLaughlin.
Thanks, Donna. Good afternoon. I met many of you this morning as I was walking around the residence halls. I hope that you're feeling good about moving in. As Donna said, I'm the college's Dean of Students, and I'm also speaking to you today on behalf of my colleagues in the Division of Campus Life, which are all of these departments listed up behind you, including residence life and student leadership and student involvement and student conduct and on and on. All of these colleagues in the Division of Campus Life are involved in what we call the student development process. We work to create a robust set of experiences and opportunities for learning outside of the classroom and outside of the college's laboratories. We work to ensure that education happens everywhere and anywhere that it can, in our residence halls, student organizations, athletic and intramural fields, and through leadership and service opportunities. In fact, that is the real benefit of a residential liberal arts college. Education happens everywhere. It's why we take our work so seriously. In conversations with parents earlier this summer and welcome events for the class of 2019 and through phone calls, many of them ask a similar set of questions. They were something like this. How do I fit into my students' life at college? Some even whispered the question to me at events, how can I support my daughter without being helicopter parent? Right? So this sort of idea that overparenting is sort of known to not be a good thing, but then what is the other option? So as I was listening to those questions, I came across a picture in the Atlantic magazine a couple of weeks ago that I thought was really apropos for today. And this is an image that I think in many ways probably captures, for at least some of the first parents in the audience, sort of what you're feeling. On the one hand, your sons and daughters are totally ready to go to college. They have their college sweatshirt, they have their laptop, they moved in, they have their own room. And then at the same point, they actually look a little bit like this to you. Right? So I thought I'd show this to you, and why that's up there, let me give you a little bit of an idea about how we expect and think that you could be involved. We know that you've been through a lot of experiences with your students so far, from first steps to the college application process. In so many ways, no one knows them and knows their story quite like you. Perhaps this transition to the college years is easier to navigate when you understand the college's role in your students' life and what role we hope you will play in their educational journey. As Don alluded to, we're not here to take over the parenting role. That role is solely yours. We are, however, here to help your sons and daughters develop into active, responsible, healthy scholars and citizens. What do I mean by that? I mean that I, along with my colleagues in campus life, challenge students while also providing them with support through those challenges, teaching them how to manage their emotions and to work through difficult situations. We help them become autonomous over time, and we support the development of positive relationships, including those with family, friends, partners, and diverse individuals. And we help them understand who they are on many levels and help them identify their purpose and also, hopefully, their passion. We are also guided by some certain principles in that work and all of those goals. We treat students as adults, getting them involved in solving their own problems instead of relying upon others to do that for them. We are concerned with student safety and educate them on ways to keep themselves and others safe and intervene if we become aware of potentially harmful behaviors. We never want to see a student hurt. And we expect students to take responsibility and understand the implications of their actions. After the formal presentations this afternoon, we'll save some time for your questions, as Donna mentioned, but I wanted to anticipate some of them now. Maybe some of these you wouldn't even want to ask. So I give you a little bit of an expectation of what it is that we hope that you'll do. When a problem arises, move like your feet are stuck in molasses. That's just an image to keep in your mind. The temptation probably will be to intervene immediately when a problem arises. Texting and phones make it really easy to stay connected at those challenging moments. But remember that many resources exist here at Lafayette to help our students cope with various situations. Express your support and let them have time to solve the problem on their own. It will ultimately benefit them. Lafayette has many safety nets, I assure you. Our student and professional staff members are trained to identify and handle just about any problem that you can imagine. But students need to be able to make some mistakes. Part of exploring this newfound independence at Lafayette involves making mistakes. A student who is terrified of messing up may not take positive risks, such as trying a new class or auditioning for a theater production, or putting themselves out there in brand new, unexplored ways. When students make mistakes, and they will, I prefer to hear from the student directly before I hear from you. So encourage your son or daughter to come see me or talk to their RA or another trusted faculty or staff member, including Donna, about their issues, rather than owning their problem. As students try new things and expand their worldviews, their perspectives will undoubtedly change. Successful students are able to experiment like this because they know that someone at home believes in them, in their intelligence, in their initiative, in their autonomy, and their ability to make good decisions. Number two, have discussions about your expectations for their behavior. Earlier this summer, I sent you a link through Donna to a parent guide for talking to your son or daughter about alcohol and other drug use. If you didn't read it then, if you could, please take a minute to refamiliarize yourself to that guide when you're back at home. Not only will this conversation be helpful in setting expectations about alcohol, having conversations about respecting rules and policies and developing healthy habits, but it also promotes self-responsibility and will help them make and take responsibility for their choices and actions. Trust me that she or he will find support every step of the way in those journeys. There are many potential diversions and behaviors that can derail your child's education. Undoubtedly, one of the most difficult and preventable one, however, is preventing the misuse of alcohol or other drugs. Dangerous drinking on college campuses is serious, and I don't need to tell all of you about the implications of high-risk drinking, since these stories are covered in newspapers every day, every year. There are many other possible derailments. Have conversations about these expectations in a calm environment, ideally not in a moment of crisis. One of the questions for me later might be how the college approaches alcohol use. And so I thought I would answer that in case you don't want to ask that in front of everyone. The college will enforce the drinking age of 21 years old. We have to, after all. We're in the Commonwealth of PA. So in residence halls and on campus, public safety will address violations of state law, open container, public drunkenness, just like Easton Police. And thanks to a sizable grant we received from the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board, enforcement will be increased on campus this year. We've made a lot of really good progress on reducing high-risk alcohol use in our population over the last 3 years. So this grant is really sort of an acknowledgement of that, and we'll continue to do it. As we work diligently to combat high-risk drinking and behaviors that promote the rapid consumption of alcohol, we also educate and provide a lot of alcohol-free choices and free events. As I talk to students about this later today and in the coming weeks, students will find what it is they're looking for. And so in some ways you'll hear from your son or daughter, there's nothing to do. It seems like there's alcohol everywhere. It's not the case, but again, it may seem that way because in some survey data that we have from your students themselves, they took an alcohol EDU earlier this summer. And when we asked them how often have they drank over the last month, the results show that they're not drinking very much at all, if at all. But then when we ask them a subsequent question, how often do they think their peers have drank over the last month, the chart is exactly the opposite. They think everyone else is drinking a lot, and they're not drinking any. And so we'll be sharing that data with them during orientation so that they get a little bit of a sense in a session where we talk about the difference between perception and reality. So we know that this is on the top of their minds. It probably is in some of yours, so I wanted to address it now. One more point regarding alcohol. The college does have a Good Samaritan policy that allows any student to call for help, help for themselves or a friend, with the understanding that they will not face any criminal or college-related conduct charges as a result of that call for help. Obviously, we encourage students to intervene with a friend's drinking before it needs that kind of attention or even hospitalization for acute alcohol poisoning, but safety is our top priority. And we train all of our students and our staff, including RAs, to see the signs that indicate a student may be in need of help. And they have an opportunity through this medical amnesty to actually get that help. Number three, don't ask them if they're homesick. The power of association can be a dangerous thing. A student once told me that they didn't feel homesick until their mom called about 2 weeks into the semester and asked them if they missed her cooking, if they missed the family dog, if they missed their friends and family back home. So really, the first several weeks of this semester, and I'm sure that our students can tell you, is really action-packed. There are so many opportunities, a welcome back event and a student involvement fair and concerts, and they'll really be so busy meeting new people and adjusting to this new environment in all of their classes that unless they're reminded by it, by a well-meaning parent, of course, they probably will be able to escape that loneliness on their own. And even if they don't tell you during those first few weeks, I can assure you that they do indeed miss you. It's difficult for a student to make a new life at the college if his home life keeps pulling him back. Let your conversations contain a balanced mix of what's happening on campus as well as what's happening back home. A minute here about our health and counseling center services might be helpful. We have several highly competent and trained medical staff and counseling professionals in the Bailey Health Center. The center is open 6 days a week and can care for most any issue. Most of the services in the Health and Counseling Center are done free of charge. Our staff in the Counseling Center also provide up to 15 free counseling sessions each year, and though their hours are almost identical to the Health Center. Your role related to these services really is to encourage your students to utilize them if you think it would be helpful. Many people are here to help your son and daughter succeed. I hope you feel that by now. At this point in your day, I hope you've seen a lot of the faces like us and in terms of student, staff, and help and support. We make ourselves available to them, and we welcome students to come see us. It's why they've chosen a small college. It's why all of us have chosen to work at a small college. We involve them in their own problem solving so they will be better equipped to deal with the next challenge. And finally, as Donna said, think about your parting words today. They are crucial. Whatever wisdom you offer, whether it is I love you or I'm behind you or I'm proud of you, say it today. If you can't express yourself verbally, send them a letter or a text once you leave campus. And I know that that might be what you need to do to hold it together. Your children will remember this moment forever, as Donna said. And more than 20 years later, I remember my own farewell with my parents in the parking lot right outside of Denison Hall and my own undergraduate institution. It was funny and sad all at the same time. We said goodbye. We had all of that. And then I needed to go just the way your parents will need, or your students will need to go to assemble as a class. And then my parents tried to start the van and it didn't start. So I think they were actually in the parking lot for a while longer as I headed off. So hopefully that doesn't happen to all of you. So hopefully I've given you a sense of what our role is and what we hope your role will be. It's a partnership for sure and one that we take really seriously. We couldn't do it without you and want you to trust us that they are in really good hands. This is a new start to an adult relationship with them and a chance to learn new things about one another. I look forward to meeting you and invite your calls or emails if there is something that I can be helpful to that Donna can't or vice versa. So there's my contact information. Welcome and thank you.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. As Donna said, my name is Erica D'Agostino. I'm the Dean of Advising and Co-Curricular Programs, and I am beginning my ninth year as an administrator here on campus, and I'm also a very proud Lafayette grad. So as you can imagine, I've learned quite a lot over the course of 12 years, now going on 13 with this college. And I have a couple tips for all of you. There have been a lot of tips offered today, and I'm coming at things from the academic perspective. So indulge me a little bit while I give you some advice. This afternoon, as we have all heard, you're going to have to take that moment to say goodbye to your sons and daughters. And if there is nothing else that you say to them, the one thing that I want you to say as you hug them tightly and whisper in your ear, please tell them to go to class. I know. It's surprising that I'm telling you that, but believe me, once they get here, you have no idea. Sometimes things go a little haywire when parents aren't around and students have a lot of freedom. So please tell them they need to go to class. Every class, 8 a.m. class, it doesn't matter if they had to wake up early because they're on the football team or the field hockey team and do an early morning workout. They shouldn't go back and take a nap and miss any of their classes. If they are taking a nap in the afternoon, they've got to set that alarm and get up and get to the afternoon classes. They're also going to find that oftentimes their roommate has nothing to do, and the roommates are going to be sleeping, and your students still need to move on and get to class and do work. The next thing I want to tell you, when your sons and daughters call home, and they tell you, I'm having a problem and I don't know how to solve it. I'm having a problem in a class. I'm having a problem figuring out how to use the reference desk in the library. I want you to refer them directly to their faculty. Our faculty are here for a reason. They didn't choose to work at a Research One institution. They're at a small liberal arts environment because they want to work really closely with all of your sons and daughters. So, when there are questions, I want you to tell your students, go talk to your classroom professor. Go find your faculty advisor. If you have questions about a major that you think you might eventually be interested in, go and find that department head. Every member of the faculty will post their office hours on their course syllabi. They're also posted outside of their door in all of their offices. And the majority of our faculty have their own websites where they also post office hours. That is a critical thing for students to use. I can't tell you how many first-year students that we're meeting with well into the semester, and we say, okay, well, you've been having this problem in Chem 121. Have you talked to your faculty member yet? Have you seen Professor Nataro? No. And he wrote on my last test that I should go and meet with him. And so they need to go and meet with the faculty. They've got to go and have these conversations. If our faculty can't answer a question themselves, they will find the resources necessary to get questions answered. Next, when the first wave of tests rolls around, and that will hit in about 3 or 4 weeks, so everybody prepare yourselves for the rash of text messages and phone calls that will come home to you, and students will say, I can't believe it, I didn't perform the way that I thought I would. I did so well in high school. I got a C and the world is ending and I'm not sure what to do. If they say to you, you know, I think I'm just going to study longer. I'm going to try harder. I want you to tell them to stop, take a step back, and reevaluate the situation. Many of you might know that college is not high school. I learned that very quickly in my first semester here at Lafayette. You have to learn to study and approach your academics in a very different way. There are no more multiple choice tests and fill in the blanks with word banks that we all used to love in high school. Students now are going to be required to learn information in a really deep way, synthesize information that may have been presented for all of 2 or 3 minutes, and then be able to regurgitate all this information on an exam. So when they're telling you that they're having a tough time and they're not sure what to do or they're just going to put more hours into studying, make sure that they stop and they go and they talk to somebody. Maybe they need to go and talk to that member of the engineering faculty to think about how they can best approach ES 101. Maybe they need to come into the attic for some personalized academic coaching so they can think about how they actually read a textbook, how they take notes in class, how they study for an exam before the night before over a 1 week period. Folks in the attic, which is our academic resource center, are always poised, ready to help students on an individual basis to think about their study skills and tweak them as necessary. Next, when you come back for Parents Weekend, which certainly we all hope you're going to do, I want you to ask your kids how things are going. How are classes? How are you fitting in? Are you engaged socially? If and when they would say to you, well, I've been having this problem and I wasn't sure who to go to ask for support, I want you to know that they're lying to you. There are so many people here on campus who make themselves available on a regular basis, whether it's the RAs, and we have two of them here with us today, who are right in their residence halls, their faculty advisor, classroom professors, their first-year class dean, who is Christopher Salina, their coaches, the dean of students, the people working in the religious life office. There are so many folks here on campus who are ready at any time of day to answer any question that they have. You just need to remind your students that all they have to do is send up a flare, and we will help support them through whatever challenge it is they're experiencing. Finally, I want you to remind your students to utilize all of their resources. There is a pretty hefty price tag that comes along with a place like Lafayette. Donna, is that your phone going off? Can you believe that? So, hefty price tag at Lafayette. We're not the cheapest institution in the world. So I want your students to approach college like they would an all-you-can-eat buffet. We have pre-professional advising for students who are interested in law school or the health professions. We have a fellowships office. Maybe your son or daughter is interested in a Rhodes or a Marshall scholarship. We have peer tutoring, supplemental instruction, disability services, a host of student activities. They should access anything and everything that they can possibly get their hands on. We have groups of student leaders, our resident advisors, orientation leaders, and a new group of student leaders called partners who will serve as peer advisors. And they're going to present the buffet table to your sons and daughters. And they're going to say, here are the array of things that you can take advantage of. Make sure that they are accessing as many resources as they possibly can. I hope that in these few minutes, I've given you just a couple tidbits that you'll pass on to your students. If you take nothing else from it, please take the go to class part, because faculty members will contact my office and say, John Smith hasn't been here in 2 weeks. Things aren't looking good, and he's probably not going to be able to pass the course. So if you don't take anything else, take the go to class. Some of your students may at some point, like Paul and Donna have mentioned, feel homesick at some point or worry that maybe they're not fitting in. They may worry that they're struggling academically, that the major that they've chosen may not feel right, or they're concerned that they don't know what major they want to be involved in yet. We are all here to lend an ear and offer support and point them in the right direction. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. It's wonderful to have all of you and your sons and daughters join this excellent community. I will tell you that there is a reason why I came back to Lafayette to serve as an administrator. Lafayette for me was a really life-changing experience. I learned a lot. I failed a little bit at times too, and it definitely made me a stronger, better person, I think. So thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Hi, everyone. My name is Daniel Drive. I'm from New York City. I'm a junior here at Lafayette College, and I'm an economics and government and law double major. On top of that, I'm also an RA on campus in South College, where some of your sons and daughters may be living this year. And on top of that, I'm a member of Phi Kappa Psi fraternity. So I still vividly remember my orientation experience here at Lafayette, and it was a really great time, and I really have to credit that to the college, because we have both RAs and orientation leaders have a week-long training process, a very intensive training process that we go through. But we love what we do so much that we are here a week in advance, training from 10 a.m. to what, like 7 p.m. every night?
At least.
Yeah, and it's just like we have such a great time with one another, and we do that because we love to welcome the first years to our college. We love the experience that we received when we first came here, and we love to give that back to them.
All right. Hi, everybody. My name is Valerie Melson. I'm also a junior here at Lafayette College. I am a neuroscience major. I am from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. I'm a part of Posse. I'm a Posse scholar. I also work at the gym. We both work at the gym. I'm an associate supervisor currently. Just got a promotion, so I'm excited about that. And I'm also a Kaleidoscope member, which is a social justice peer advocacy group. So I will be meeting with a lot of the first years. My RA assignment is not with first years. I'm in a special interest residence hall, but I will get to meet a lot of your sons and daughters. My orientation experience was a lot like Dan's. I appreciated having the girls' volleyball team move all my stuff in. It was awesome. I wish they were there to pack my car, too. But they were really great. I also want to say that I enjoyed having so much things to do during orientation. As someone who's a little more introverted, it was nice knowing that, you know, I just had to get out of my room, and then people were there to meet me. So that was really nice for getting me out of my shell. And to let your sons and daughters know that we were all new to this campus once. We understand what they're going through. Others are going through at the same time, and they will meet people. They will find their place here at Lafayette. There is a place for everyone here. We're going to get right in and started. We have two skits for you. We have two different versions of how these skits can go, and hopefully you're able to see very quickly which is the positive version and the version that we're pushing that we hope this experience goes. So with that, we're going to get started.
Let me just pull out my dad phone. Hey, Val, how was your day?
It was okay.
You sound out of it. What's wrong?
Well, my roommate is still getting on my nerves.
What happened this time?
I was trying to sleep because I have an 8 a.m. exam this morning, and she comes in with two of her friends at 1 in the morning. They were playing music and talking until 3 a.m. I couldn't sleep.
Are you kidding? I'm really getting sick of this now. Do you have the number to Residence Life? Because I'm going to call them first thing in the morning. Don't you worry about it, honey. I'll handle the situation.
Thanks, Dad.
And this is scene two. Hey, Val, how was your day?
It was okay.
You sound out of it. What's wrong?
My roommate is getting on my nerves.
Tell me what happened.
I was trying to sleep because I have an 8 a.m. exam in the morning, and she came in with two of her friends at 1 a.m. They were playing music and talking until 3 a.m. I couldn't sleep.
Have you spoken to your roommate about having friends over that late?
No, she should know that having people over till 3 a.m. is unacceptable.
Well, she should know, but because you haven't said anything, she probably thinks it's okay. Just speak with her first, and if the problem persists, talk to your RA, all right?
Thanks, Dad. You always know just what to do.
All right, so with that in mind, the idea here is to let your sons and daughters kind of, obviously, work their own problems out. You know, if you kind of step in, you might upset the roommate, and it might have just been something you can easily speak about. So the idea here is, yeah, let them handle the situation, let them speak to their roommates, and try to give it a go, because if a parent automatically gets involved, it might upset the roommate, and then that can cause even more tension between the two, and you really don't want to have to do that.
Yeah, and a larger picture, at Lafayette College, we really want to push for your child to be independent, to be able to handle problems on their own. So if, as a parent, you're always kind of swooping in and saving them, they won't ever learn how to do that. And so I know that was a valuable skill that I had to figure out, how to just be an advocate for myself and say, this is what I need. And so allowing your child time to do that and being there if they kind of don't get it quite right, or walking them through, here's the best way to go about it, is the way to help and feel like you're still needed without kind of just fixing everything for them.
Right, and being an RA, like I've had an experience where residents have come to me and said, oh, this person is doing so-and-so, and it's really bothering me. I'm like, well, have you spoken to them? Have you made it clear that it's bothering you? They're like, no. So, like, you know, it's very simple to go about, and I'm just like, well, you know what, why don't you go and speak to them? And if something continues, then we can try to work out a mediation between the two of you. But it's just working it out on your own, and it'll definitely help with life skills and people skills and communication skills. So.
And we can definitely facilitate this discussion. That's why we're there, to help facilitate the discussion when needed. All right. Okay, next skit. I have a bone to pick with you. Why didn't you call me back?
Because I was busy, Mom.
That's no excuse.
I don't know why you're getting mad. You talked to me twice already today.
But you were supposed to call me back.
I have a lot of work, Mom, and it's hard to call you all the time.
All right, son. I'll check back with you later tonight.
Mom, I have to go now. And see. All right. Hi, Mom. How's your day today?
Work was busy. I went from one meeting to another. But how was your day?
I've been really busy here, too.
Well, we haven't spoken this week, so tell me how school's going. How's your roommate, your classes?
So far, so good. I have no complaints. I do my best. I do have my first test for calculus next week. I'm a little nervous.
It'll be okay. Just study and try to do your best. Will you let me know how it goes?
I will. Well, Mom, I was just checking in to see how things are going at home. I'll call you next week sometime after my exam. Tell Dad I said hi.
I will. I look forward to seeing you and... I look forward to seeing you and meeting your friends at family weekend.
I can't wait. My friends want to meet you, too. I told them you were bringing your special triple fudge cookies. Love you, Mom. Bye. So, some things you might want to focus on if you feel that your child is calling you too much, because that can happen too. Is ask them about like any extracurricular activities that they're involved in. I know that the first week of classes we have a student activities fair where all the clubs, sports teams, intramurals, any types of events on campus all come together and we kind of just like sell our spiel. You know, like, oh, come join like the lacrosse club or like whatever other clubs there are on campus. Like.
There's a lot.
Yeah, it's a huge list.
What I would like to add is, if as a parent you want to know how much or how little to talk to your child or when to call them, I would say every relationship is different. A week for me was fine. Dan was like a week.
That's long
to him. So we're completely different. So setting that up and really allowing your child to kind of dictate it, I really love that my mom, she actually took it a little too far. She was just like going to wait indefinitely until I called her every single time for like the whole semester. She was like, no, I'm just waiting for you to call. And I finally had to be like, Mom, you're allowed to call me. So you can call your child. It's okay. I would say not three times in one day. That might turn them off to actually try to talk to you. But, you know, I would say once or twice a week, it's fine to call and check in with them or to even say, hey, you know, is it okay if we FaceTime tomorrow? Or what are you doing this week? And I'd love to have a conversation. My mom just left me the cutest voicemail. Like, I just really want to hear your voice. So I'm going to call her after this and say, hey, I'm alive. I'm happy. Like, sorry, training got a little hectic. But just let them know that you're there for them without being too much there for them.
Right, and don't take it personally when they don't call you, because this past week for us has been super crazy, and
right.
I haven't called my mom, and she called me there. She's like, what's going on? Are you okay? I'm just like, yeah, like it's just been really busy. So it's honestly a lot of Lafayette students are really involved on campus. We have crazy schedules, and sometimes it's difficult to kind of try to keep track of everything. So, yeah.
All right, and then so. Those are the skits. Now, question and answers.
Okay, I'll take it from here.
Thank you.
Are we okay?
Okay, I can facilitate it.
Okay. Thank you to our students for that. That's great. Okay. We did save some time for some question and answers. And following that, we do have a short video to show you, just a short video that was made by some of our students, and I think you'll appreciate the message that they have for you. Now, as you take a minute to think about your questions that you want to ask, I will share with you a question that I had, a parent asked me. They said, what do you do if your student never calls home? Okay, so I told her to do what another parent told me she had done. She wrote an old-fashioned letter, okay? Dear son, miss you. Hope you're doing well. I am enclosing a gift card to Marici's restaurant so you can take your new friends out for pizza. I love you. Have fun. Mom. She sent the letter, but not the gift card. Okay. 3 days later, she got a phone call. Okay. So remember, whatever the problem is, there's a way to solve it. Just call me. Okay. Time for questions. We have two orientation leaders with us today. These two will be working with your students. Kevin, you want to introduce yourself?
Woo! I'm Kevin.
And Nick?
We're Baron Relations. Hi, guys. Yeah, I'm Kevin. I'm a senior. Undecided. Just kidding. studying geology and engineering studies. I love it here. I'm very involved. When you guys see me at the reception, just talk to me and I'll tell you about everything else I'm involved in on campus.
I'm Nick Whiteman. I'm a sophomore and I'm a chemical engineering major with a Spanish minor.
Okay. Raise your hand and they will bring a microphone to you. Who has a question for our panel? Yes, right up here.
For those of us who are short on memory because of all the trauma we're going through for the process,
mm-hmm.
not age-related, what was the first book in your list of three books?
The first book's called The Happiest Kid on Campus.
Thank you.
Another question. Up here?
Oh, geez. Here we go. Can you pass this back?
Oh, there's one. Yes, we're not from around here, so what can you tell us about the Easton community outside the college?
The town and gown relationship with Easton and the college has really improved tremendously. It's a very good relationship right now. Our mayor is very in touch, and you will meet him later today. We have a lot of students going downtown every Saturday for a farmer's market. We have a program called Lafayette Day, which is September 12th, where all students and faculty and go downtown, and there's free food and games, and students get to do contests and things and meet the merchants.
I believe our orientation leaders went on a tour of downtown and met some of the restaurant owners and the merchants personally. We have the Landis Community Outreach Center, which does a lot of work in downtown, a lot of volunteering. I don't know the numbers offhand, but we have a lot of students who volunteer. So let's ask our students about downtown Easton.
I would say I encourage your students to go down and explore Easton. I would say it's a resource that not a lot of students, not as many students as I would like to see, take advantage of. But there's so much to do in the town of Easton. There's so many ways to give back and to get involved, from just going to the Crayola Factory or going to the Boys and Girls Club and helping out. There's a high school that's not too far away. There's a lot. It's basically a small town, so if you're from New York or D.C. like us, it's not like that, but it is a small town, and it's a great environment, great people.
The architecture is beautiful.
Yeah, it's really pretty.
Really?
I'm sorry. Your sons and daughters will also get a chance to go downtown as a part of the new student orientation program. So on Saturday morning between 9 a.m. and 12, their orientation leader will take them downtown. They'll get to see the farmers market. And because we took all the RAs and orientation leaders on their own tour and met the shop owners and all of that, they'll actually have a little walking tour so they can show them shops and restaurants and all of that. So there will be an exposure directly during the next 4 days to connect them to downtown. We also run a shuttle downtown throughout the day and also take students to the bus station, which has service into Philly and to New York City. So there's easy access to either walk down the hill or take the shuttle down.
Yeah, you'll see on the last page of your parent handbook are some lingo from Lafayette, and LCAT is the Lafayette transportation shuttle that takes students around. Easton's becoming a good place for restaurants, so do check out the restaurant guide. And on family weekend, downtown Easton will also be having a farmer's market, a chili pepper festival, and along the river is the Riverside Festival of the Arts, and that's all during and part of family weekend.
There's also Bacon Fest that's coming up at the farmer's market, which is awesome.
Hey, another question.
I have the mic, thanks. He brought it over to me. My question does not really apply to many of the incoming students, but a few. I've heard that the acceptance rate was very high this year, and my daughter was put in a single, which I think makes it really difficult. I think that it's a double-edged sword, right? I mean, I think she will walk in and doesn't immediately have that chitter-chatter and setting up the room and then just the, you know, going out and walking to classes and just having that automatic, whether you end up being best friends or not. And I just wanted to sort of address that from an RA standpoint, that hopefully these, you know, RAs who know that there are singles, which I think, I don't know, maybe half dozen, I don't know how many, but are sort of looked after a little extra. You know, she's very sort of introverted, and I think this is the first year, I think, that the acceptance rate was this high, from what I've been told, just talking to a couple of the staff around campus, and just wanted to talk to that a little bit. And my other question was transportation. I think there's some set up transportation options for kids going home and things like that, and how they sort of get on that you know, conversation about setting that up ahead of time, because I think the buses and things that go, like, say, to the East Coast, and they have to do sort of on the early side. But those are the other things that I think she's thinking about right now. But those were just my concerns.
Okay.
Thank you.
There is transportation down to the bus station. There is a company called My Bus Home, which does transportation during the breaks, and that's up in the New England area. And there is on the website, is it called My List, where students can post if they need a ride or can offer a ride.
Uber is also in the Lehigh Valley now, so students can certainly take Uber if they're familiar with that from wherever they're living. And we do, as Donna said, sort of run specific shuttles during break. So it'll probably come out through the point and also be communicated to your sons and daughters near the breaks. We don't run them all the time, so Uber might be more important if they're coming home for a random weekend. But otherwise, there's some organized transportation.
Right. During the break, a student can register to have the LCAT take them to the Lehigh Valley International Airport up in Allentown. That obviously is the easiest airport to get to. The buses run almost hourly to Newark Airport. It is a challenge to get to any of the others like LaGuardia, JFK, or Philadelphia. You're looking at a personal driver for those.
I would also just add, if your students do come in to the Easton bus terminal downtown and it's late at night, they can call public safety, and public safety will drive down, pick them up, and bring them back up to their dorm, especially if it's late in the evening. So for students who will be traveling on their own on the buses, make sure they have public safety typed into their contacts on their phones.
Yeah, I can also answer your other question about the yield. So our admissions rate, the acceptance rate was actually the lowest, one of the lowest acceptance rates, but the yield was one of the highest. So of those students that we accepted, more said yes to us than we anticipated. So instead of a class of about 645 to 650, we're around 670. So it is about 20, 25 more students this year than we were anticipating. Of the number of singles, it's probably fewer than 30 singles across the first year class, but we do a lot of work for all students, not just people who are in singles, to get them involved with people in their residence halls. We have a new common structure in your guidebook. There's an orange panel here that sort of talks about the five commons, one of which your son or daughter was assigned to. We'll be getting those students together for social events and IM competitions if your daughter is so inclined for that kind of thing. But I do believe that our RAs are sort of absolutely equipped to sort of reach out to those students who might seem that they're not getting as engaged as they'd like them, you know, like to see them be, to try to get, make sure that happens pretty early on too, because we know that students sort of develop patterns pretty quickly, friendships, go to brunch together, all of that stuff. So I think that will happen.
Yeah, and the orientation leaders, it's jam-packed the next 4 days, and they will constantly be on the move, meeting new people within their commons, within other commons, within the floors above them. I mean, tonight they're having a program in a bag, or decorating cookies, or playing board games with each other with different floors. And so there's definitely a lot of opportunity for them to meet other people, and we were trained for that. So we will be having some sort of like an interview, not really an interview, but we were trained to kind of throughout the semester to check up on every single resident, have 30, 40-minute conversations with them, and even on top of that, we see each other in the hallway. Hey, how's it going? How are classes? And if they ever need to talk to us, our doors are always open for them. So please make that, tell your sons and daughters that we're there as a support system.
I'd just like to add, we do have partners now, too, which are peer mentors who are in new position for first years, and so that's even an added level of support for your son or daughter, of someone who's going to be there on top of your OL or your RA to just kind of make sure that they are adjusting smoothly. And with three eyes on them as just students who are there just designed to look out for them, and then you have the advisors, the faculty, you have their friends, this whole campus community, she's not going to fall through the cracks. We will definitely make sure that she knows that, hey, you only have a single, I have a single too. Like, I would love some company. Come on over whenever you like. The common room is always open. There's always, on my floor, you know, we had a person who had insomnia. There was always three people up with him at any hour because they were like, you're up, I'm up. Like, it was perfect. He was like, wow, I never met so many people who are just so cool with just keeping me company. And it was great. And he had a single, and he was perfectly fine the whole year.
Okay. Any other questions back there?
I was wondering about the process, prescription medications out of state. How does that work through the health service?
So your son or daughter will likely want to begin to have a relationship with Dr. Goldstein, who's our college physician, and then that prescription can either be continued to be filled by the doctor back home, and it'll actually be filled at the pharmacy in the health center. So we actually work with a place called Bell Apothecary, which is in Easton, and they deliver the prescriptions right to the health center. So I think it depends on what the prescription is, but Dr. Goldstein would be happy to either begin to sort of get some documentation from the home physician and begin to write the prescription and see that your son or daughter regularly for it, or just help facilitate the filling of the prescription from back home, and it will be delivered directly on campus for him or her to pick up.
Another question? We have one up here.
He'll be
right here with you.
I got you covered.
Is there any harassment policy at the college?
Sure. There's actually a lot of sort of anti-discrimination, sexual harassment, physical harassment, stalking. All of those policies are in place. And your sons and daughters, again, in addition to learning about alcohol on Saturday, tomorrow night they'll actually have a session with an outside company. Kelly and Becca is the name of the program, and they'll actually be talking about sexual harassment, sexual assault, stalking, domestic violence. Not only is that sort of a requirement through the Violence Against Women's Act and Title IX, but it's something that we take really very seriously. And so in addition to the program that they'll have tomorrow night, we'll actually then have follow-up conversations with each residential floor over the next 3 weeks to talk in more depth about those topics, but also about bias-related incidents and other sort of harassing issues. Our student code of conduct is pretty robust in this area. Again, sort of federal legislation requires that, but we were ahead of it in so many ways. A lot of the policies over the violence and the reauthorization of the Higher Education Act last year, a lot of the policies that were required were already in place here. We had education already supporting those particular sort of legislative demands. So we feel really good about where we are. And again, we think it's so important that we're putting it in the first 4 days of their time here.
Okay, we have time for one last question. Right over here.
Yes, mine is a two-part question. First of all, what is like the recommended allowance to give them? I have no idea. You know, I've been getting all sort of different numbers.
I'm sure you have.
And also, how does the student ID charge card work? He just got a vaccination. They're like, no worries, we'll charge it to his account. How does that work?
He won't worry about that, no. Could you to answer the first?
Sorry.
First.
Yes. Do you want me to answer which one?
Yes. The first
the money one? The cash money one? Okay. It really depends. There are a lot of it, a lot of the restaurants nearby, a lot of the options on campus will accept a student card, so they don't necessarily need cash. So I know you can go to the library and get a cup of coffee and you can use your student card and it'll be billed to your student account, which I'll explain in a minute. Or if you go to the restaurants, you have part card dollars, which you can use your give your student ID and they'll swipe it in like a credit card and charge it from there too. But that has to be added. So there's a difference between part and flex. Okay. I have to go to that. Okay.
No, you don't even have to talk about flex because they don't have it.
Oh, they don't? Oh, okay, it's a new policy. So, I mean, recommended allowance, you want, like, a number?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we were talking about this earlier.
Go mid-range.
Maybe no more than 100 a month?
Yeah, we both...
But how much were you given? How much did they tell you?
I would like a lot. He wants you to adopt him.
I'll come over.
I would like to also say that every person is different. I know some friends who had $250 for 2 weeks. I thought I was like, my eyes were, your parents give you that. I will also say that after my sophomore year, I had a job and I no longer get allowance. And I'm perfectly fine.
But also, there's really no need unless they want to, like, do personal shopping. I know a lot of girls like Lily Pulitzer. A lot of boys like Vineyard Vines. It's very expensive. So, like, they need to, you know.
So it might be worth, like, okay, we're setting the allowance at X amount of money. If you're saying you need more, maybe we need to start having a financial discussion about where the money is going. This is not,
you're laughing.
I'm being honest. My mom also does tax law, so maybe this is why. I don't know. This might be why I'm thinking like this, but really have a discussion. You honestly should not. I would say you're not spending more than $100 if you're budgeting effectively. Now, if they're saying in the beginning it might be a little more because they want to go out with their friends who are also going out and they just want to feel like part of the group and being able to quickly say, yeah, I can do that, then you might want to let them splurge and have that time so that you can make that friends. But you honestly don't want your children exploiting you either.
But a lot of
and they will.
A lot of the fresh, I mean, it's mandated to have a 20 meals a week.
20 meals
so they don't really, they're going to be eating on campus all the time. So there's really, and it's included. It's a swipe. It's not like you already paid for that. So
yeah, you've already paid for.
So you don't. They don't really need to anything unless they maybe want to go get a cup of coffee or, again, like go to Panera Bread, I was going to say Pandora, Panera Bread or something like that. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to move on to the next part. Thank you for your questions. Before we start the video, I do want to thank our panelists.
And I would like to thank you for joining us today also.
We just wanted to let you know, Dan will be and I will be at dinner. I will be there a little late, but at the president's house. So if you have any questions for us, please feel free to stop us and say hi.
Yes, our panelists will be there. Other administrators will be there. Other upper-class students, some RAs will be there. So if you see them at the reception, President Byerly will be there to talk with each of you if you'd like. Please don't forget to fill out the parent survey. You'll have a link sent to you. Do fill that out for us. It helps us with planning for next year. And again, don't hesitate to contact me if you have questions or you need something. That's what I do. I help parents. Now we're going to show you a video that was made for you by some of our students. And I'm sure that if your students were making a video, this is the message that they would have for you. Enjoy the rest of your day. I hope to see you at the reception and family weekend.